To our young Christians, Michelle, Michael, Christine, and Jessica, and to the Church of Jesus Christ here in Hackensack, well, today is your last official class lesson, and it couldn't come on a more appropriate day of the year than Pentecost, the birthday of the Church. Because prior to this day, the Church did not exist. It was only in Jesus' mind. Because prior to this day, the disciples upon whom the Church was to be built were locked behind doors of grief and fear and timidity. But on Pentecost, that all changed. On this day, they were filled with God's Holy Spirit, and they moved out from under a spirit of timidity and into a spirit that emboldened them to begin what we, what you will continue to this day to do as you join this body that is called the body of Christ. Let no one make light of the answers that you are about to give to the questions that you are about to address because of your youth. It is not flesh and blood that calls you into discipleship. It is God. The call to discipleship is not an easy path. It never has been an easy way to go. As you all know, Paul told his student Timothy, just as I tell you, that we are to set an example for the world by what we say and by what we do and by how we behave and how we love and the love that we're called to give and so on. And so this, your last class, I want to tell you about who we are in this church and what we believe here in this church. We are a church that is in love with God. And we are a church that is in the process of learning how to love one another like we love God. We are a church that will worship God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our mind and all of our strength, with all of our time and with all of our finances. We are a church that will avoid the complacency of lukewarm commitments and status quo religion. We are a church that will pursue a deeper relationship with God through prayer, through study of His Word, through mission activities and involvement with the community outside of these doors, and especially in worship. We are and will be a church that loves, will embrace the up and out and the down and out. You see, God is raising a church that has compassion, because God has said to us in Exodus that He is compassionate. And so we will be compassionate to those who suffer. We will be compassionate to those who sigh and cry. And we will reach out to lost souls who need what we have to offer, which is faith, hope, and love, these things that endure and never end. We will be a church that fights the prejudice and the apathy that is rampant in our society that says one person cannot make a difference. Why bother trying? Look out for only yourself. We will love our neighbor as ourselves. We will love our families the way Christ loves the church. And we will reach out beyond these walls with the good news that in Jesus Christ there is an abundance of life to be had. We will grow together as a church family. It'll take work to build the intimacy and the trust that that first church had. And even though we have come from many places and many cultures, we will be one in Christ's Spirit. We will grow together as a church family in the unity of that Spirit that has brought us to this time and place, and we will be united in our diversity. It's something to be celebrated in a church that is traditionally very homogeneous around the country. We are not. We will not be divided over our differences at all. We will not divide ourselves over race, over gender, over social status, or over scriptural interpretation. We will be united as the body of Christ in all of its glorious beauty, form, and function that is before us today and in the days to come. And we will be a church that grows. We will not die. We will not shrink. We will reach out because we have been placed here in the county seat of Bergen County at a time when the harvest for saving folks is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And we will teach you how to do this. We have been imbued with a power from on high, and for that very purpose, we will succeed at bringing lost souls to the one who can heal a sin-sick heart. We will be a voice of hope in uncertain times, especially economic uncertain times, or a voice of challenge and peace during global conflicts, saying there is another way to live. And we will be a voice of joy when those who are out there are filled with sorrow, a voice of faith in the midst of doubt, and a voice of forgiveness in the midst of sin and sorrow. We will be defined by who Jesus Christ is as the head of the church. He is our leader, and he alone will we follow. Our church will fulfill the mandate that Paul gave to Timothy, his student, as he passed the mantle of leadership on, just as we pass the mantle of leadership on to you. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, Paul says to Timothy, the same kind of commitment you shall bring, and you shall teach to many others. We will be faithful to the task of the great commission that Jesus left to us. Go, therefore, and teach all the nations everything that I have commanded you. And lo, we will hold on to his promise that he is with us now until the close of this age. We will make new disciples each and every year, and we will not abandon our commitment to those that we baptize, especially as infants. We will nurture them with loving kindness and their parents, and when need be, we will remind them to bring them back to church when they forget. We will feed them with the milk of God's word, and we will bring them to a time and place just like today, when they shall make their profession of faith in front of such a great and wonderful throng of witnesses as is assembled today. And we commit ourselves to this vision this morning. We commit to the God that granted this vision to us, for it is not flesh and blood that is speaking to you, but God. We trust in his power to complete that great work that he has begun at the beginning of time and will bring to fruition in his good time, and we acknowledge our complete and our continual dependence upon him to guide us, to empower us, and to refresh us as we move forward to fight the good fight of faith, as Paul says. Michelle, Michael, Christine, and Jessica, do not neglect the gifts that you have been given by God. There will never be another one like you on the face of this earth. You are unique to that extent that nobody can replace you. So take heed to be true to yourself and to the gifts that God has given you. The gifts of sincerity, the gift of faith, the gift of sensitivity, the gift of music, the gift of insight, the gift of your intellect, the gift of your love. And I can go on and on and on about those gifts. But those are God-given gifts that God has given to each and every one of you. Hold on to them. Hold on to that. For by doing so, you will save not only yourselves, you will save others. You will become an example. Hold yourselves high with esteem and with integrity and honor. Have others look upon you that way. The gifts of righteousness, of godliness, of faith, of love, of endurance, of gentleness, the ability to do just, to love mercy, and to speak with truth and integrity. These are all gifts God has given to each and every one of you in whatever endeavors you find yourself in life. Wherever life takes you, these gifts go with you. Michelle, Michael, Christine, and Jessica, take hold of the eternal life to which you have been called when you make the good confession in the presence of these many witnesses this morning. Hold on to that which is eternal, things such as faith, such as hope, and such as love and righteousness. The call to discipleship, it's not an easy path to follow. If it were, then everybody would be here all the time, clamoring for more. But in the final analysis, that's why we really need one another, because of this faith and because of this discipleship that demands the utmost out of us, demands our everything. That is why we need to be part of the body of Christ, the church, where we can share our sorrows and share our strengths, and together we become stronger than we were if it was just us out there alone in the world. It is impossible to live a life of discipleship without the support of one another. It can't be done. We need each other. And when it's all said and done, my hope for all of you, especially you that are being confirmed today, is that you will look back upon your life someday and that you too will say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is set up for me a crown of righteousness. Amen.